God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We're delighted to have you with us this afternoon. It's been a beautiful day, and it is a beautiful evening to be able to come together to consider those things that God has revealed unto us. I'm Frank Briscoe, preach for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. With me again this evening is Tom Moore, gospel preacher for the Park Heights congregation in Hamilton. We have been looking at the things of this particular weekend, a day known as Memorial Day, a day of remembrance that's been set aside by our nation to remember those that have served our nation in time of need. Some of those have made tremendous sacrifices, some of them the ultimate sacrifice. And with this in mind, we thought that today might be a good time for us to think about and to study about those who are described as being a good soldier of Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And that as soldiers, there are certain characteristics that God demands. And so in our program this evening, we're going to be discussing the characters of a soldier of Christ. I'd like to remind you that this is a live call-in program. Again, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-722-4253. And this is a free call, and we would certainly welcome your questions or comments. Tom, before we get into our program this evening, would you tell us from whence we're broadcasting?
I'd be happy to, Frank. We're airing tonight from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose that covers from the Hamilton area up to I-20 in Fort Worth. We're airing also on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon in Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAVAM 1590 out of Lubbock, and also KVOPAM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network .org. This program also will be re-aired on the Gospel Radio Network on this coming Tuesday at 6 a.m. We want to remind you, as Frank just mentioned a moment ago, that this is a live call-in program. The number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to remind you that this we have a podcast available for this programming. If you go to the harrisonmoore.org website, at the bottom right-hand corner of the opening page, you'll see an RSS feed. Click on that, follow the directions, and you will be able to sign up for a podcast that you might be able to listen to the program at a convenient time for you. We also want to remind you that we have an email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org. We won't answer those questions tonight on the email, but we will look at them and we will be sure and address them next week or as soon as possible. Again, our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. We might also want to mention that our other partner on this program, Foy Forehand, is not with us tonight. He is under the weather, and so we give him our best wishes and look forward to him being back with us next week. Frank, you mentioned a moment ago that this is Memorial Day, a day that we remember our soldiers who have given up so much for our freedom, men who we ought to remember. And as important as those men are, there's something really that's much more important than the physical warfare, isn't there?
It is the spiritual warfare in which God has commissioned us. He's given unto us our orders, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that we are to stand as a good soldier in his service. And he has given unto us the characteristics. He's given unto us those things that we must recognize and know in order that we might be able to serve him in an acceptable way and in a profitable way in his service in this world.
Exactly right. And so we realize that members of the Lord's church are soldiers in the Lord's army. For example, in Philippians at chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. There he refers to a fellow Christian as a fellow soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And so the Bible is very clear in referring to a Christian as a soldier. We are indeed in a warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. And as soldiers, well, there are certain characteristics that God demands, just like a soldier in the military, in the physical world today, will need to have certain characteristics. Their general, their sergeants, they will expect certain things of their soldiers. And so God also expects certain things of us as his soldiers. And so tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to be talking about 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to notice there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there are several characteristics that are given that's important for every soldier to have. So in this chapter, Frank, we learn that a soldier, first of all, needs to be strong.
All right, he begins, therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. The source of our strength is in the grace that God has given. That's the favor that he has bestowed upon us, that we might be able to accomplish that which he sets us out to do.
Exactly right. And a physical soldier, well, if he doesn't have strength, he's not going to last on the battlefield very long, is he?
That's true. There are certain things that he has to do. And in order to acquire that strength, he goes through a period of time known as basic training.
Yes.
And it is a period of exercise. It is a period of building themselves up so that they will be able to have the strength necessary to accomplish the missions that they have.
You know, when we think about the Christian growing and being stronger, there is, in a sense, a basic training that they're to be involved in also. We grow as Christians. We study. We learn. We begin to implement these things we learn. And in a sense, that's a basic training. We're learning as young Christians to become older, more mature, and stronger, and that's the whole purpose of this. In 1 Kings at chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. David here is talking to his son Solomon, giving him some last words of encouragement, and he says, be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper all that you do and wherever you turn. You know, those were pretty powerful words for David, the last words on his deathbed that he gives to his son Solomon, be strong. Show yourself a man.
And you know, we have the same kind of statement made by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Paul had spent a lengthy period of time, one time a little over a year and a half, with the church there in Corinth. And then he wrote back. First Corinthian letter, we've divided it into 16 chapters. So when you get to the 16th chapter, you're coming down to the end. And notice the things that Paul would find, the final challenge that he gave to them. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Mm-hmm. But there is the encouragement to be strong and to be able to do the things that needs to be done.
Most definitely. And you know, and Paul went on to say in another book, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You know, it takes strength to be a king of a nation, and it takes tremendous strength to be a Christian. There are a lot of things that we have to endure in life as a Christian that's not always easy. Satan's after us. There's peer pressure. There's pressures from all sides. And if we're not strong, we're going to falter. And that's why I believe, Frank, we see a lot of young Christians, young people, who fall away from the Lord because they have never grown strong. They have not gone through, if you will, that spiritual boot camp.
Right.
To make them strong.
You know, as we're looking at the things from a military standpoint of strength, and we're obviously thinking there a whole lot about just physical strength.
Uh-huh.
But the strength that God's soldiers to have is not physical strength. It is spiritual
exactly.
strength.
You know, think of the strength of the faith, the strength of faith that took Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7 to reduce his army from 32,000 to only 300, and with that small number having to face a multitude of enemies. You know, when we think about our Christianity today, our number really is relatively small when it comes to what we have to fight against in our world today. And Gideon and the men with him were able to conquer even with the small number because of their strength, their faith in the Lord. And without that, they would not have been able to conquer those armies.
All right. Had they not depended upon the Lord for their help and looked to him for the strength that they needed, and thus they were able to develop and to have that strength. And as you say, even though they faced a tremendous multitude, they were successful because of the strength that they had acquired.
Exactly right. Now remember tonight, the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the character of a soldier of Christ, and we thought tonight we would do this because this is Memorial Day, a day in which our fallen soldiers are remembered and the great sacrifice that they gave to our nation so that we might have peace. And we thought, what better way to remember them than to remember the spiritual characteristics of God's soldier? You know, Frank, it takes strength.
You know, there are two aspects of that strength that we're going to be looking at. Mm-hmm. One of them is the strength of character, the strength that we have from the inside of developing a character that would be strong. The other is a strength in the teachings of Christ,
mm-hmm.
to be strong in the knowledge that we have of God.
Exactly right. And so, you know, it takes strength then, doesn't it, Frank, to stand for what is right,
it
to
does.
Stand against the wrong. You know, our young people show tremendous strength when they stand against the evils that seek to ensnare them in today's sick, sin-sick world. And it takes strength to stand for the doctrine of Christ and not going beyond or falling short of his teachings. Preachers need to be strong in preaching the word. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we are to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound
right.
doctrine.
And, you know, again, the Holy Spirit, again, through one of the writers of the New Testament, tells about those who are weak insofar as doctrine is concerned. He said, you're pushed back and forth with mm-hmm. every wind of doctrine. The idea is, whenever the wind blows, you don't have the ability to stand strong. You're pushed whichever direction the wind happens to blow. And from that, we get the term that we've often used today about individuals, and well, they just go whichever way the wind's blowing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Because they don't have the strength to stand for the truth.
You know, and you've seen trees, Frank, that have not been rooted ground into the dirt ground good, and the wind blows and the tree falls over because they don't have strength of root.
Right.
And so we've got to be strong that way as well.
You know, I saw something a few years ago that I had never really thought about. I got to go into Olympia National Park, mm-hmm. which is way up in the northwest. And in that, there is an area where it rains every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive into that, and it's just like another world, because it is an area that is just inundated by rainfall every day. And I noticed some of these huge trees that had fallen. And the ranger that was there and explaining some of these things said, you see these trees, huge as they are, because they have so much moisture, they don't need deep roots. And their roots are really not deep, and consequently, when the storms come, you see so many of these trees that actually simply give in and fall because they don't have the strength. They didn't put down deep roots.
Yeah, they don't have to go down very deep for moisture.
They don't have to go down deep for water.
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of Christians who think they're one of those big trees. They don't go very deep in the waters of God's Word, do they?
And when the wind of sin and the winds of Satan blows, so many times they have difficulty of standing.
Exactly right. You know, so we think about a soldier of Christ and strength, we realize that preachers need to be strong in preaching the word, but also elders of the Lord's church need to be men who are strong. In Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, it says, an elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word is taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silent, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. And Frank, sadly, there are a lot of elders in the church who aren't strong enough, and as a result, liberalism seeps in, difficulties in the church arise, because the elders aren't men of strength. God demands that they are.
Again, it's the idea they're just simply not being good soldiers.
Exactly
right.
You know,
part of the duty of a soldier at times is to guard.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's on guard duty, he has specific responsibilities. You watch and you guard and you protect. And if you're not strong in the understanding of the role that you have, then failure would be. And sometimes the elder, he has to recognize and he has to be strong to recognize that which is error.
You're exactly right. And you know, the soldier must be strong, as you mentioned a moment ago, in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, strong soldiers. Men need to learn, and women who are soldiers. Now, they're women soldiers in this battle, right, Frank?
Absolutely.
They have a different role than the men, but they are soldiers as well. And men need to learn the Word and to be faithful to the Word, and they need to teach the Word of God. And that's precisely what Ezra was talking about, isn't it, Frank?
All right. When he was encouraging them to, well, Ezra said he had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach its statutes and rules in Israel, that this is the thing that he had set himself up to do, to know the Word, to be able to teach it, and to encourage others to follow the Word. And so the soldier must be strong in the Word. You know, Paul describes the soldier pretty well in Ephesians chapter 6. And the last part of that, he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to use it.
Exactly.
I don't know whether you were involved in military. I had a little. Mm-hmm. Spent some time in the military when I was young. I was issued an M1 rifle. That was your weapon. And you were expected to know everything about it, exactly how it worked, exactly how to use it. That was your weapon. And you were given that. And the responsibility of knowing how to use it. We've been given God's Word. And as we read there a moment ago, the statement that was made by Ezra and the statement that we made insofar as Titus and Timothy is concerned, we've got to know how to use. The soldier of the Lord, he has to be able to use the sword of the Spirit that God has given.
Exactly right. Remember, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And so not only does a soldier of Christ need to be strong, but they also need to be single-minded. They have to have focus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ." Now notice, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We've got to keep our focus and realize what the soldier's job is. You know, in the military, they need to know what their job is, and when they're on the battlefield, they're not going to be over there playing tiddlywinks or things of that nature. They know they've got a job to do, and they need to be focused on it. The same is true with the soldier of Christ.
All right, the goal that's set before them, the project, the thing that is emphasized is this is what you're to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you have to devote yourself with a single-mindedness to that if you're going to be successful.
Exactly right.
You know, Jesus talks of this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon." A little bit later in verse 33 he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And you know the idea, two thoughts there when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It means that you have to put that kingdom first, mm-hmm. and the work of that kingdom has to be first in your life. And sometimes we perhaps just look at it when you say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," of just for what we will receive. But he's also telling us this is where we put our focus and our work. God's kingdom's first. That's where I'm going to have to work, and I've got to know how to do that work.
Exactly right. You know, there will never be an occasion or the circumstance when it will be right to put spiritual things in second place. And if we're going to be the kind of soldier we must be, we will have to learn the lessons of single-minded service. You know, some people are just so busy with the affairs of everyday life that they don't have time to study their Bible. They seem to not have time to attend worship service or do a great number of things the Lord requires of them because, you know, they have too many irons in the fire. Or they think the Lord is not top priority. And that, Frank, is where we really get ourselves into big trouble when we start putting God on the second shelf. Right. Instead of making him first.
You know, there's a story in the Old Testament of an individual who was on guard duty. There was a battle going on. An enemy had been captured. This particular soldier had been given the responsibility of guarding that particular prisoner. And the instruction was, "Your life for his life." He knew exactly what he was expected to do. The next day, when you came by, the guard is now prisoner. Mm-hmm. And when asked what happened, his answer was, "As I was busy here and there," mm-hmm. he was gone.
Yeah,
he just got too busy doing other things. He forgot to guard the prisoner. He forgot to do his job,
right.
And it cost him his life.
You know, and sadly, Frank, there are a lot of Christians who are just like that. They're here and there and forgot and are forgetting to do their job.
And you know, so many times, Tom, the things they're doing within themselves are not bad.
Right.
I mean, they just get involved in this and involved in that, and it's kind of a priority thing. Tom, we have a phone call.
Right.
Lost it.
All right. Well, we'll
okay.
give her, if you...
Let me say that if we fail to answer that quick enough and you didn't get your call answered, call back and we'll be watching for your call.
Yeah, we have to be glancing at our flashing light, and sometimes we get busy and forget to look. So if you called in, call us back again, and we'll give her a try. We didn't realize that no man ever really excels at anything worthwhile unless we put forth a lot of energy and devotion to that thing. Well, we're having some kind of technical difficulty. I'm not real sure what's going on. We're having a big ring, so I guess our phones aren't working for some reason tonight.
It could be that, or they could be standing too close to their own receiver. They might
okay.
need to get away from
all
their
right,
receiver.
So they might think try that one. But we think about give an illustration of what we're talking about, being single-minded and devoted to the cause of Christ. Sir, years ago, a former shooter, a gunman for the Winchester Gun Company, set a new record for shooting 1 1/4-inch blocks of wood with a .22 rifle as the blocks were thrown into the air. The shooting would stop when he missed the third block. He hit nearly 30,000 before he missed the first one. Then the next miss came at the 55,000 mark, and the third miss came after he had broken over 76,000 wooden blocks. Oh, yes, the weight of the gun would have tired his arms when he was not able to put it on his shoulder anymore. After 25,000 shots, the rest of the time he shot from his hip. Then asked, what was the first thing he ever remembered? He said, the first thing I ever remembered was shooting a .22 rifle. He was one of the greatest marksmen that ever lived. He was such because he devoted his life to it. Just think, what kind of soldiers do you suppose we would be if we devoted such time and talent and energy in serving the Lord? Men who excel in whatever they may be do so because they devote their very being to that endeavor. And how less should we be then in putting great effort and single-mindedness in the cause of the Lord? This is a live call-in program. The number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. This is Memorial Day, a day in which we remember our fallen veterans who have given up the ultimate sacrifice so that we might have peace here in the United States of America. And we thought that because of remembering them and the great soldiers they were, that we need to remember the soldiers of Christ. And we're talking about the kind of soldier we ought to be. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've noticed that to be a good soldier, we need to be strong. And we need to be single-minded. But Frank, as a soldier, we also need to be strict.
Strict. There are those things that we have to observe. And there are those things beyond which we cannot go. There are all those things we must do. And so as an athlete, you know, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are strict. You know, it's sad, and yet we've all seen it. I remember, a few years ago, the great marathon that's run up north. An individual came in to receive a prize and had won the marathon, and began to question, and they went back and began to look at the cameras, and the particular individual had rode part of the way in a car, got back out, and ran the last little bit. In other words, he didn't get the prize because he had not competed according to the rules. And so there are strict rules that are given.
You know, there was just a while back, there was a golfer who lost the championship because when he placed his ball back, he didn't place it quite back in the right. I mean, it was minute, but he didn't follow the people. Well, that was kind of harsh. What they play according to the rules. And, you know, and we've got to do the same.
And you know, that's interesting because he did not notice himself that he missed. It showed up on the TV review.
Yeah.
But yet it was there. And the error was there. And as you say, it cost him the tournament.
That's exactly right. And so, according to, we must not go beyond the things that are written. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And we must abide in the doctrine of Christ, and to fail to do so is to cease to have fellowship with God. 2 John, beginning in verse 9, says, "Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whosoever abides in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whosoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." Frank, that's how serious this is. If we don't compete, if we're not doing things according to God's way, then we don't have fellowship with God. And if we don't have fellowship with God, we're not a good soldier, and we're not going to go to heaven.
And if you don't have fellowship with God, I'm not a good soldier if I fellowship with you.
Exactly right.
In other words, my responsibility is to tell the truth.
I wonder how good a soldier would be, Frank, if he was over there rubbing elbows with the enemy and not taking care of his own business.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important.
I believe that's called treason.
Yeah, exactly right. And we've got to avoid those who teach error, Romans 16 and verse 17. And we have to withdraw from the disorderly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. You know, when a soldier gets disorderly, he's put in a stockade, isn't he?
Right. And he is a danger to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that one of the things that in the first passage you mentioned, in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, where he talks about those that are causing trouble, those that are causing division, that you have to mark them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to recognize. Why? Well, it's two things. One, it's for their good.
You're right.
But secondly, and probably the first thing that's thought of here, is because what they're going to do to the others.
Exactly.
That if they are permitted to continue, then it's going to be a detriment and a hurt to the family.
Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be stricter. The society needs to be stricter. Parents need to be stricter in the home. Preachers and elders need to be stricter when it comes to the Word of God. We've got to speak where the Bible speaks, and we've got to be silent where it is silent. We've got to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. And we can't, you know, sometimes, Frank, I think people are treating God's Word and obedience to it kind of like horseshoes. You know, you just try to get as close to it
just
as you can.
Just get close.
You know, like a grenade. Just throw it close by, be close enough. Well, we need to be strict and adhere to the Word of God. Sometimes, Frank, people think we're just being too strict, don't they?
That's true. You know, they for whatever reason, and I think it's because they want things to be a little bit more of a loose cannon type thing. And if you stand firm, then you're different from them. And they've got to accuse you of something, so they accuse you of being too strict.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they call us legalist and things of that nature, but I'd rather be a legalist than an illegalist, right?
All right. I said, you know, every time someone uses that term, well, they're just a legalist. Well, what's the opposite of being legal?
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal.
Exactly right.
And that's really what happens.
And so we've got to be webbed and welded to the Word of God. You know, they're not too strict. They're just right, because we need to be as strict as God is, and precisely follow his pattern, Hebrews at chapter 8 and verse 5. And so we as soldiers of Christ, we need to be strong. We need to be single-minded. We need to be strict. But what else, Frank, does a soldier need to be?
All right, the soldier also has to be secure. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 again, he said, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We are faithless. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But the idea there is we have to remain secure. We have to remain reigning with him and in him. And if we don't, if we deny him, then we are going to be found faithless.
That's exactly right. You know, because we can feel secure, that doesn't mean that, you know, once saved, always saved. That's a false doctrine, because you've got to remain faithful. But, Frank, when we remain faithful and we do things the way God says, then we can be secure and have confidence because we're doing what God says. It's like when a soldier goes into the battle. If he does not have confidence in his generals and his leaders, they're not going to feel secure.
All right. You know, we need to have the same confidence that the Apostle Paul expressed. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard or to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There's no question in his mind as to the security that he had as long as he was in Christ Jesus.
Exactly. You know, we should not let that false doctrine, once saved, always saved, keep us from knowing that we are saved as faithful Christians. Consider 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. It says, and this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. We can know that we have eternal life. It's not a guess or a slim gray hope, but we can be secure and have confidence.
Lord, it's the absolute assurance that God, who cannot lie, has given unto us. You know, I fear that sometimes when we hear people say, well, you know, I don't really know, I fear they really do know.
Right.
They just won't admit and won't face it.
Yeah. You know, it is a problem with a person's faith when they kind of, well, I hope I'm being faithful. I hope I can get to heaven and not have that confidence and that security. You know, if you're strong in the faith, you know, Frank, if we're being the kind of people who are strong, if we're single-minded, if we're strict, we can have that security. The child of God is secure because of what he has done. He has obeyed the gospel and has been raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. He is strong because of where he is. He is in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And we get into Christ, Galatians 3 verse 26 and 27, through baptism. And the child of God is secure because of where he is going, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Faithful children of God are bound for the promised land.
Right. You know, then comes the end when he would deliver up the kingdom unto the Father. Mm-hmm. We know where the kingdom is going.
Exactly.
We need to be a part of that kingdom. And if we are part of that kingdom, then we will be delivered up unto the Father.
So we as soldiers of Christ need to be strong. We need to be single-minded. We need to be strict and secure in our faith. But Frank, here is where a lot of people really fall short. They are not sound in the faith.
You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, remind them of these things. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We might be a little bit more familiar with that if we read it just from the old King James, where he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling correct or rightly dividing the Word of God.
So there takes effort to be involved in, to be sound in the faith. You know, in the King James it says, strive not about words to no profit, or to study to show thyself approved, as you mentioned. You know, the good soldier of Christ must avoid false doctrine with tremendous diligence. They need to give themselves to studying the Bible. Frank, you were talking a moment ago about that rifle of yours when you were in the Army and how that you needed to know it inside and out. You probably had to take it apart and put it back together in a certain amount of time, but you had to study. You had to learn those things, didn't you?
Absolutely. And one of the things that is given to you to remember, they would say, this will save your life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so will the sword of the Spirit that God has given unto us. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul.
Exactly right. And if we're not sound, if we're not solid in the faith, then, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We've got to be sound in the faith. You know, there are a lot of people in the religious world, Frank, who the knowledge they have of God's Word wouldn't fill a thimble. And yet they've got all these thoughts, all these ideas about what they should do, what they believe, and they don't have the first idea of what the Bible teaches because they're not solid in the faith. And that only comes through study, doesn't it?
Right. I think someone well said, you know, the Bible in our country is probably still the number one selling book, but it's certainly not the number one read book.
Exactly right.
Tom, when I was in college, one of the things that college students did, I even did it one year, went off and sold Bibles, try to make enough money in summer to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was out doing this, and he went into a house. We had one big Bible that we wanted to sell. That was one that...
The family Bible.
That was a family Bible, was what you want. And we had one that was a study Bible and then a gift Bible. Had a series of Bibles. He went into this one house. The lady looked at it, and she ended up said, I want all three. Said, I want the family Bible, I want the study Bible, and I want the other Bible. And he wrote up the order for her, and this is a good day for him. And he was a good salesman. When he started to leave, he asked her, he said, may I ask you what it was that caused you to decide to buy all three? And she said, certainly, be glad to tell you. Said, you see my coffee table sitting here in the living room?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I got to thinking what a beautiful pyramid that would make. The big Bible on bottom, the middle-sized Bible, and then the little Bible. What a pretty pyramid that would make. And unfortunately, I think the Bible sets... as a pyramid, as it were, something pretty in too many places rather than having been read.
Exactly right. You know, I believe, Frank, many men believe and follow false doctrine, not because the Bible is difficult to understand, but rather because of what men have said the Bible teaches. In fact, it does not, and by their false doctrine, lead men astray. You know, people... just simply do not know what the Bible teaches, and therefore they cannot be strong in the faith. You know, for example, Frank, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. But multitudes of people say, he that believes shall be saved and be baptized later as an outward sign of salvation, which is not anywhere near what Jesus said. They're not sound in the faith because they do not study, or they may ignore what the Bible says.
It's just not what they want to believe.
Exactly. So we're talking tonight about being a good soldier, and we're bringing this to mind tonight because of Memorial Day and the great sacrifices that our soldiers have made for our country. Remember, this is a live call-in program. The number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. A soldier of Christ, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, needs to be strong. They need to be single-minded. They need to be strict and secure. They need to be sound in the faith. But Frank, Paul said they also need to be sanctified.
All right, 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, this time beginning in verse 19. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart.
You know, the King James says, sanctified and meet for the master's use, right?
Right.
Now, the word sanctified, Frank, tell us, what does the word sanctified mean anyway?
Well, the word sanctified comes from the Greek term, which means to set apart, and in particular, to set apart for a special purpose.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's true that Christians are sanctified for a special purpose. Again, notice verses 20 and 21. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some of honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from this dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. He's different. He is prepared for every good work. That's what a soldier needs to be.
That's right. That's the reason he said that we're to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. You know, the key perhaps to that verse is we've got to pursue it. Mm-hmm. We've got to go run for it. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart.
Exactly right. So when we think about this idea of being sanctified and set apart, meet for the master's use. Can you imagine, Frank, if a soldier in the army decided that he's not going to be setting himself apart for this effort, that he's got other things in mind he wants to be involved in, that he's not really ready for this work? Would a soldier survive in the battlefield if he is not ready for the task before him?
There's just no way that he can survive.
I wonder how many Christians are going into battle who aren't sanctified, who have not yet set themselves apart for the efforts that are before them, and when they go into battle, they fail.
They're not qualified for what they're facing.
Mm-hmm. Set apart as holy. A Christian is sanctified in practices. In verse 22, 2 Timothy, it says, so flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. His life, it needs to be a soldier of Christ. His life needs to be totally different from the world. And there are a great number of things which he's going to refuse to do because he is separate apart. You look at a soldier, you know, Frank, even when a soldier is not in his military outfit and you go into a restaurant, you can spot a soldier, can't you?
All right.
For some reason, we're still having trouble with our phone system, and I'm not sure why. I apologize to those who are trying to call in. We'll try to figure out what's going on for next week. But, Frank, as I was mentioning there are people, when you go into a restaurant and you see people coming in, you can spot a military man even without his uniform on, can't you? Because there's something different and significant about him.
The way he carries himself.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so isn't it true that we as God's soldier, we need to be different? People look at us and see by the way we live and talk that there's something different about us.
I went into a cafe visit with the lady that ran the cafe, and She was a friend of mine, and I was visiting with her, and she pointed out a man sitting over there at a booth. And she said, "You need to go over and meet that man." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because he's a Christian." I said, "How do you know?" And she said, "Well, I saw him pray before he eat, and I went and asked him." She, you know, she recognized him because of the way that he conducted himself.
Exactly right. You know, we can look at the way today people dress, the way they talk, the places they go. We can tell whether or not they are really godly people. And so we need to be a people who are sanctified. And so when we think about this idea of being a good soldier, not only do we need to be all the things that we've just mentioned, but tonight as we draw to conclusion, there's one more thing I want you to focus on, and that is a good soldier needs to be a servant, right?
Okay, he has to be a servant. You know, have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. And so Paul, as he's writing there to Timothy in the second letter, hey, we are the Lord's servant. I wonder sometimes, Tom, if in our society today we really appreciate the word servant. You know, from the way that it's used in New Testament times.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we're always wanting to be served. You know, how many times have you gotten a call over the years, Frank, and somebody calls up and says, "I'm interested in the church there where you are. What can you offer us?"
Yep.
Well, right off the bat, we realize they're not going to be servants. They want to be served. We as God's people need to be servants. And isn't that what a soldier in the military is? Did he not serve? He serves his country. How many times have you heard that referred to? He served his country with honor. There is service that's involved. We need to be, as God's soldier, a servant, willing to work and put our needs below the needs of other people. Is that not why many soldiers are killed in battle? Because they're putting maybe another soldier's needs above his, putting country above his own desires, and he can only do that if he has that servant attitude.
You know, there's countless stories and accounts that have been given of the soldiers who sacrificed themselves because they chose to serve. They chose to serve the others and to put the others first.
Yeah. How many times have you heard of where a soldier, like, he'll throw himself over a grenade to protect those around him? That's service. That's being a servant. It's bravery, being a servant unto the Lord. You know, even Jesus was known as a servant, wasn't he, Frank? He taught the great lesson that his disciples needed when he washed his feet, showing them that there would be no big I's and the little U's in the kingdom. Serve. We need to be of the mentality where we are not so much concerned what people, what we want, but what other people need. Remember the famous... when John F. Kennedy was in his inaugural address, "Ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." That still rings true, even especially in the religious world in which we live.
Right. We need that mentality of service insofar as the kingdom and the church of God is concerned. We need to ask and we need to be looking to see what it is we can do. What service we can render for the master.
Exactly right. And before we draw to conclusion with some final thoughts, I'd like to remind our listeners of our sponsors. Of course, this program is being sponsored by the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, where we're airing from. It's also being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we also have individuals who from time to time also give generously to our programming, and we're so thankful for those who are involved in that. And we want you to remember that all of the monies that come in for this program go directly to the programming of this program, the airing of it. We do not take a salary from this. We don't use any of it for expenses, but all of it goes directly to the program. So we're thankful, very thankful, for those who are involved in the financing of this program. Tonight we've been talking about the character of a soldier of Christ, and we thought we'd do that because this is Memorial Day, a day in which we remember our fallen veterans, and we're so thankful for the great sacrifice that they made for us. But let's not forget about the spiritual soldier, how they are to be strong, single-minded, strict, secure, sound in the faith, and also are to be sanctified, set apart, and are to be servants in this warfare. These are not only the only characteristics of a good soldier. There are many, many more given in the Bible, but these are certainly ones that we should give great consideration tonight. Frank, do you have a final thought you'd like to lay on us before we draw a conclusion?
You know, we recognize that when one enters into the service, the military service of our country strives to provide them with the very best of everything that they could ever possibly need. Mm-hmm. It wants them to have the best protection. It wants them to have the best of everything that will suit their particular needs and that will ensure as much as possible their safety and their success. Mm-hmm. You know, God has given unto us a command, and He's given unto us a responsibility to serve Him and to defend His cause, to preach the gospel to the world. But God, in giving us that commission, has also supplied us with everything that we could ever possibly need. Paul would write, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
A good point, Frank. An excellent conclusion. And as you were telling me, and you gave me one of your old sermons here a moment ago, you had it entitled GI, a government issued. That's what they call the GIs.
That's right.
And you talked about how that GI for the Christian soldier, is God issued. And as you just described there, He's provided us with everything that we need to be good soldiers of Christ. It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight. We hope that things that we've said have been encouragement to you. And again, Frank and I and the staff here with Foy, not with us today, but I know he's right here with us, want to thank our military for the great sacrifices they have made for our country. And we also want to remember the families of all of our fallen soldiers. You're in our prayers. You have our great thanks. Thanks for being with us tonight in this program. We'll be right here on the same program, the same station, next time. We are happy that you've been with us tonight. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Praise Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.